can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life.
Dear Lord, thank you for this new church today. I hope it will bring joy to this community and will change lives. Thank you for making this happen, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear God, thank you for dying on the cross for us so that we could live. I've had many great experiences here at this church, and I want other kids to experience the love of Jesus here too. God, please just bless this new church, all these people in it, and the city of Avon. In Jesus' name, amen.
So why don't we all do this? Just lift a hand towards heaven, if you will. Just lift a hand towards heaven, and let's just start this thing off right. Let's just begin to cry out to the Father just for a moment, just to thank Him for what He's done. Father, we thank You for Your work in this city, Father God. We thank You for the work of Your people for the over last year, Father God, that labored in this very place, Jesus. We thank You that this is a fruit of Your glory, that this is a manifestation of Your goodness, God. And we celebrate You, and we celebrate all that You are doing in this region, Father God. We thank You, Jesus, and we love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Just tell Him that you love Him, church. Just tell Him how much you love Him right now in your own words. We love You, God. We love You, Jesus. We love You. In Your name I pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, why don't we do this? There's a bunch of new faces around here. Why don't you turn to somebody, shake their hand, ask them their name, get to know them. Let's meet somebody new today. Have a good time. All right, all right. All right, all right, all right. So why don't you find a seat? If you could do me a favor, if we could all just squeeze to the front, we might have some stragglers in the back. So if before you take a seat, if we can move forward a couple rows, rub elbows with somebody you don't know. It's all good. So as you're taking your seat, I just want to remind you guys, we have a special giveaway tonight. We actually have two special giveaways, but we have one extremely special giveaway. At the end of the service, we will be giving away an iPad. Yes, but let me see your hello card, Nick. The drawing is going to be off of this hello card. So you saw one on your seat. If this is your first time here, please fill this information out. Drop it off when the offering baskets go in, or you can they give it to you after service as well? It might be too late. It might be too late after service. You never know. So we're going to do that. Also, right now, do I have anybody under, in between 18, 12 and 18 in the house? Yeah? 12, 18? Okay, well, it looks like we got one by default. James, you are the winner. DSM, this is $50 iTunes gift card on behalf of Discovery Student Ministries. Goes to James right there. We're super excited to be here in Avon. So if you have any teenagers, man, tell them they missed out. They should have came with you tonight. We do a bunch of fun stuff here. So bring out your teenagers if you know any. That would be cool. So right now we're going to take our tithe and offering. And I don't want anyone here to feel obligated to give. But there's something about first fruits. And there's something special that God does with first fruits. It's like a special honor to Him. And I just, starting this new location, I think back to almost 40 years to the location that we have in Lorain. And I think about just the generation and the people that really started that building. Many of them are, a couple of them are sitting in this building right here. I know Ms. Norma and Mr. Chuck have been there since the beginning of that church. And it's so awesome that we all in this room get to be a part of the ground level here at Avon. That we're, from here, there's no telling where God's going to take us. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of the first fruits of this ministry in this location as you give your tithe and offering. So I'm going to pray for it, and then we're going to watch a video, and we're going to get into the Word. So Jesus, We thank you for what you're doing here in this city, God. We thank you for who you are and just the growth that you demand from the gospel, God. And so we just give towards that, Father God. We give towards just the furtherance of the gospel and your word, Father. So I ask that everyone here would be blessed, that their tithe would be multiplied, and you would just continue to do great things in this city. In your name, I pray. Amen. Good evening, I'm Pastor Dom.
And I'm Pastor Mary.
And we are so excited to welcome you to the brand new Church on the North Coast Avon campus.
If it's your very first time with us today, please find a hello card and fill out the information so we can connect with you.
There are so many different ways that you and your family can get involved here at CNC. For example, I'm the youth pastor, and Discovery Student Ministries has some really cool, fun things coming to the Avon campus.
We also would love for you to check out our website. CNCLove.org has our calendar, has a way to give electronically through your phone, and all of the forms that are needed to get connected. How to get water baptized, become a member, baby dedications, and so much more.
So from us to you, welcome to the Church on the North Coast family, and we are so excited to see where God takes this Avon location.
I just want to say welcome to everyone today, and we're so honored that you're here with us this evening. It's a really big moment for me personally, and I know it doesn't matter, I can see it. And specifically for the Avon Life Group, if you were in the Avon Life Group, can I have you stand to your feet all over this place? If you started out in the Avon Life Group, they're already standing. I just want to say, you know, thank you to those who are a part of that Avon Life Group and who have helped build what we see here today for the community of Avon. We never set out to begin a church. That was never our intention when Avon began, or actually when we began the life group. I was invited to be a part of a life group here and lead some of the discussions. And what we began to notice is that there was a deep, deep cry from the community to see Jesus be lifted up in personal lives, in family lives, in the community. And from there, attendance began to swell. And word of mouth began to travel, and we're here tonight. And I don't see some of the faces, but I'm sure there are reasons that they're not here. And but I do want to say thank you to all of you. To see the kids pray was in those prayers. I about lost it, you know, to see that because that was really a genuine expression, what I believe is of the Father's heart for this community. For our youth and for each of us individually. So thank you to all of those. I want to say thank you to all of the staff that worked incredibly hard to transform this. So yeah, give them a great big hand tonight. My wife and the children's ministry and everyone taking care of the kids tonight out front. But we're excited. We're excited to have this service. But what we're looking with longing eyes towards Sunday mornings. We really want a Sunday morning expression of worship that's somewhere in the community. And so we're being diligent there, and we're looking for it with diligence. We're actively pursuing it. I have my best friend Marlon, and he's a realtor, and so I'm like sending him stuff every day. Hey, what about this spot? Hey, what about this spot? And so there's nothing that we're not exploring as options to gather together somewhere. We will find a Sunday morning gathering, but until then, this is where we'll be. We'll be gathering every other Sunday evening. Perhaps we may think and consider about going to every Sunday evening, depending on how the attendance does over time. But we're excited, and we're thankful to be here this evening. What you can do right now, we are, I used to say this in the life group, so I guess I'll continue to say it. We are a Christ-centered ministry. Everything that you hear tonight will be from the scriptures and will be centered around the person and the God of Christ. And so if that offends you, the door's back there. We love you. But, you know, I just feel compelled to say it. You never know. So, you know, you're in a workout facility that's been transformed to be and set an atmosphere for us to gather. So if you have a Bible, if you don't have one, that's okay. I think we have some scriptures on the screen for you. We're going to be sharing the word tonight from Judges 15. But before I do that, I want to share something from Matthew 13. It's a particularly special... Somebody's giving me a phone call there. Dominic Lestoria. Sorry about that. It's a particular... Normally I turn that off, but you know, with all of the setup and everything and the three services today, I forgot to turn it off. I apologize. This is a particularly special passage to me, Matthew 13. I find a lot of truth in the parables found in Matthew 13. But something startling sticks out to me, and we had a service recently, and we felt as if, you know, God moved tremendously among us when this truth was presented. We had a genuine outpouring of God's Spirit in our service. And so I wanted to say this again, and I'm pretty sure I may adopt this as the way to open every service so as to create an atmosphere that is full of faith. And whether you know it or not tonight, faith in Christ is what drew you to this place. Faith in the realm of the impossible is what we all are pursuing, and it's here. But when I read these passages, you know, you see Jesus presenting all of these amazing truths. You know, he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. The kingdom of heaven, and he's just presenting all of this truth, one revelation after another as to what heaven is like. And at the end of it, he was near home. It is important that you know that he was near home. And he went closer to home. And it says that when he got closer to home, he began to share some of the same principles. And then he felt the need to say this. And then he addresses the crowd and he says, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown. Except in his own country, is what he says. And then he says something really startling. The text reveals something really startling at the end of it. It says that he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. I point that out because I want it to be known that there could be incredible faith present tonight. I mean, you and I, the Bible says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It's not about how much faith is present in the room, but Jesus reveals something very, very vivid here. When he says, a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown. And then the text reveals that he couldn't do anything because of their unbelief, which tells me that their unbelief was attached to their honor. Which tells me that the atmosphere this evening will have the potential to grow the kingdom of God inside of us, or based on how we respond to the atmosphere and the invitation of Christ tonight, it will have the potential to stop it or start it. Meaning, if we can receive Christ tonight with honor, if we can treat the atmosphere with honor, then we can see the benefits of heaven invade the room and transform our lives. There's another scripture that ties to this one that says, if you want the reward of a prophet, then you must give honor and you'll receive it. And then and immediately following it, it says, if you want the reward of a righteous person, if you give honor, you'll receive the reward of a righteous person. If you give honor, you'll receive the reward of a righteous person. There's a text that says that everyone who has received Christ has become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you have received Christ tonight, then you are righteous. You're righteous. That tells me that if you're righteous, then there's a reward inside of each and every one of us tonight. There is a reward within every righteous person. And the only way to unlock that reward from within each of us is honor. What is honor? I didn't come to talk about honor tonight, but it's key to unlocking heaven. Honor. What is honor? Honor then, is seeing one another as God the Father sees us. If we can begin to see Christ as Christ not Jesus, you see, this was the problem that they had. They only could see Jesus. They couldn't see Christ. It's interesting to me that we're called Christians, not Jesusans, which is a revelation that our identity from the Father is found in who Christ is, not who Jesus was. So if we can receive Christ, then we can receive the righteous reward that's inside of each and every one of us. And so tonight I would like to just open up in prayer with you and invite the atmosphere to be full of honor, okay? So I'm going to pray. You can take the posture that you choose, but let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for this evening. We pray that the atmosphere would be full of honor, meaning, God, that we would see one another according to Christ's atonement, to the sacrifice of the Savior, that we would see ourselves as the Father sees us, that we would see one another the same way. We bless you tonight. We thank you for this time together. We look forward to seeing how you will transform us and change us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'd like to share with you and open tonight with a text from Judges. Judges 15, verse 11. We'll start there and then we'll move from there. In Life Group, but I would always write the text on the board. I don't have a whiteboard. I have to get one to use. And we could draw it all up, right? If we could just draw all over it and make it a mess. That's how we would normally end the night. But Judges 15, verse 11 says, "Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, 'Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?' And Samson answered, 'I merely did to them what they did to me.'" Verse 16 says, "Then Samson said, 'With a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them, and with a donkey's jawbone I have killed 1,000 men.' And when he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, 'You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?' Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. Then Samson drank, and his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En-Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi to this day. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines." Judah, at this particular time, was under the oppressive hand and the rule of the Philistines. It's interesting that, you know, when you read this children's story from the scriptures of Samson and how he defeated the Philistines, that the text here points out specifically the tribe of Judah. There were 12 tribes of Israel, but only Judah was called out here. And there was a reason. There's a specific reason. And specifically, it's pointing to Judah because Judah would produce eventually Christ. Christ comes from Judah, the line of the lineage of Judah. And so Judah comes to Samson because Samson had made some trouble with the Philistines. Now Samson was, he was a covenant man. He was a Danite. And when he was young, he was committed to the service of the Lord. And he was the only judge in Israel who was commissioned from birth to serve as a judge. The rest were commissioned after, but Samson was commissioned as he was born. The angels of the Lord visit his mother and father, and he was commissioned to serve the Lord. And what's interesting to note here is that Judah represents a type of church, a type of believer in the world. Samson now shows up, and Judah betrays Samson to the Philistines. Judah betrays Samson to the Philistines, and they say, "What are you doing? We're being oppressed by these Philistines." And the Philistines had grown so cruel to this point that they were oppressive, and they were cruel and mean, and they would intimidate, And they would come out, and if you remember the story of David later on in the scriptures, when David comes out to fight Goliath, who was a Philistine, all of Israel was afraid. But in this passage, only Judah was accused, because the text is trying to tell us that there is this spirit of a Philistine that will come and intimidate you. And what do we do in life when it gets cruel? When life gets oppressive? What do you do in life when it gets really hard? And here, Samson, what do you do in life when it begins to mock you? When it begins to mock you. And this is really something that the Philistines loved to do to the Israelites. They would love to mock them and make fun of them. And we live amidst a culture today that loves to mock the believer's faith. We live in a generation that will focus on not anything else other than how you believe and the hope you hold in your heart. And they'll attack it so much, and there's this spirit of the enemy that operates every day, wherever we go, that tries to intimidate us, it tries to mock us, it tries to oppress us, it tries to terrorize us. But what do you do in life? What did Samson do? Now remember, Samson from birth was raised to confront the Philistines. God knew that when Samson was conceived and given to him, that one day he would confront the oppressive Philistines of his day. And so what do you do? What lessons can we learn then from Samson tonight as we share the story? How do we learn to defeat the Philistines of our day? When life turns cold and cruel, how do we overcome these things? First, you'll find in verse 16 that Samson defeated the enemy with a donkey's bone, with the jawbone of a donkey. I find that completely strange. I mean, really, if you were to stumble upon a dead animal, right? This is so the character and nature of God. If you were to stumble upon a dead animal, what particular bone would you choose? I don't know that I'd choose the jawbone as much as I would the femur bone, seeing as how it's probably the biggest bone, the strongest bone, the most deadly bone. So me personally, I would have picked the femur bone, not the jawbone. But he didn't pick the femur bone or the arm bone or the neck bone, or he didn't pick the foot. He picked the jawbone of a donkey. And it says that he picked up the jawbone, which immediately speaks to me, because what he did was he picked up the dead animal by the mouth, meaning he found something died, and he found it and picked it up by the mouth, which prophetically declares something to us tonight, that when life becomes oppressive and cruel, when the enemy attacks, you know, recently going through a whole lot of things, you know, in our personal family, the enemy just coming, just attacking, you know, just there's so much, you know, you begin to feel like you're oppressed and life has just gone cold and cruel on you. And you have a choice. You know, you can either do what Israel did, you can do what Judah did and retreat and hide in times where life grows cold and cruel, or you can choose to fight. And the way you fight is pretty important. And the way we fight as believers is indicated in the text here. It says that we must then begin to pick up the dead thing by the mouth. It speaks of using the word of God to defeat the enemy that's attacking us. And the dead thing is an indication. Think of the promises of God in your life and mine. Think of the times in our lives when we felt as if the promises weren't followed up on. Think of the words of God in your life that you depended on, that you felt as if fell dead. This is symbolic of what Samson picked up that day. He stumbled upon this dead donkey, and he picked up the donkey by the mouth, meaning he picked up what God said, and he began to use what God said to defeat the enemy of his day, rather than what he said or the circumstances said. He says, I'm not going to allow life to speak to me. I'm going to go and I'm going to use the very thing that the enemy thought he used to defeat me. You know, when life happens at you like that, when life happens like that, you can begin to question what God said. It's common, you know, when life comes at you like that, you have a tendency to second guess, did God really say that? And I found myself in the middle of that. I just went back and I just began to go through my notes. You know, I take some notes. And I went back through my notes and I began to find the notes that came from God, you know, in my private time with the Lord. And I just reviewed them. And I go, oh God, I remember when you said that. And I took it and I put it in my pocket. And then I'd read another one. In the middle of the fight, in the middle of the fight of my life, I went back and I just remember reading what God said about me. And there's going to be fights that are going to come your way, church. They're going to come your way, and you got two choices. You can run and hide, or you can go find the Word of God, what He said about you. And you can just begin to review them, put them in your pocket, and use them as the jawbone of a donkey. And you can begin to fight your enemy with them. Which is very encouraging, because there's a scripture that says the word of the Lord is steadfast and forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, it never dies. Amen. It may appear as if it's dead. You may look down and think that the word failed, but it will never fail. Isaiah said, so shall my word be as it goes from my mouth. It shall never return to me void. What he's really saying is the word of the Lord, it's forever and it never dies and it's always reliable. And what you're going to have to do is recognize when the word of the Lord is spoken and take note of it. And in the day of your greatest fight, when the enemy comes upon you, you're going to have to go back and find a dead donkey. You're going to have to go back and find a dead donkey, and you're going to have to grab it by the mouth, and you're going to have to speak. You're going to have to declare what the word says. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Psalm 45:3 says, gird your sword on your side. The sword, reference to the scriptures, reference to the word of the Lord. Grab it by the mouth, God would say. Grab it by the mouth. Revelation 1:16, speaking of Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, says, and he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. Speaking of the Word, how sharp the Word is when we use it against the enemy. Isaiah 49:2 says, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword in the shadow of his hand, and he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. The promise here is that if we'll purpose to take the word of God, grab it by the mouth, we can fight the enemy and win. Life won't destroy us. Life won't oppress us. You can stop the oppression of our day. Faith works when used as a sword. Verse 17 says, and when he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi. Because he was thirsty. He was thirsty. It says he was thirsty. And he cried out to the Lord. He says, you've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Then God opened up a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. And so the spring was called En-Hakkor to this day. That word En-Hakkor actually means spring of the one who calls upon the Lord. Meaning that the very place of your greatest fight is about to become the spring of everlasting life. Isn't it interesting that the place of your engagement where you fight to your most weary is when God releases a spring that brings refreshment into your life. thirst. It's an exhaustion and fight. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever gotten to the point where you're thirsty? We recently took a team to Haiti, but there's this one particular village that's way in the back. And we were talking, you know, on the way out, how do they get water back here? You know, we were all so thirsty when we left. We stopped at the corner, picked up these little bags of water, and we were biting them off and squirting them into our mouth as fast as we could because we were thirsty. It's something to have your thirst satisfied. When the Lord satisfies the depths of the dryness of your soul from a fight. And if you've ever been in a fight, you know, if you've ever fought the enemy over disease, or if you've ever been in a fight of faith where you had to believe what God said rather than what the doctor said, or you had to believe what God said for your life rather than what your boss said, or you had to, you know, if you're a student, if you had to believe what God said rather than what your grades say or your teacher says. There's this fight, and it can become exhaustive at times. But God's word says here that if you'll purpose to call out from the place of your fight, he'll turn the place where you stand into a wellspring. Jesus says, he promises in every believer that out of the belly of every believer will come a river of living water, a river that will come out of every believer to satisfy the thirst. John 4, in verse 10, Jesus comes upon a well with a Samaritan woman. He's having a conversation with her. They're both there at the well. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." Samson called unto the Lord. And it indicates for us that when we're in a fight and we become exhausted, that what we must learn to do is call unto the Lord. And that when we call upon the Lord, he'll turn where we are into a fountain that will remain. And it's interesting that the text says it's there to this day. That fountain is there to this day. Meaning, generations know about that well. Generations know the story of how Samson fought the Philistines, and how when Samson was thirsty and he en-hakored unto the Lord, how the Lord turned his fight into a well. And it's been satisfying the thirst of generations for some time now. And we all want our children. We never want our children to go through the same fight that we went through. There's not one parent in here who would say, I want my child to know what thirst feels like. And the scripture promises that if we'll call unto the Lord, he'll turn into where we are a river, a fountain that generations will drink from, that our children won't have to fight what we fought, that when we overcome it, our children will look at it and say, "I remember when my mom and dad went through that, and I remember how God was faithful, and to this day, how God's been faithful." Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak." And lastly, it says that in verse 19, God opened up a hollow place. And I'll close with this. That God opened up a hollow place. The spring that came from the depths came from a hollow place. A place of loss, a place that's been forgotten, broken hearts, broken dreams, whatever is hollow. It says that God has a way, isn't it interesting, that God has a way of taking what's empty and filling it. He has a way of taking empty lives and filling them with purpose and destiny and direction and actually allowing heaven to invade the earth. He has a way of filling the empty because God loves to fill that which is empty. Let me take you through the scriptures and show you some of the accounts of how God filled empty things. John 2:7, Jesus said to the servants, when he was turning water to wine. He said, take the vessels and fill them with water. Just fill them up and whatever. If you'll fill them up with what you got, then I'll fill them up with what I have. I'll take the water and make it wine. Because he's always wanting to fill the void. He's always wanting to fill what is empty. He's looking for hollow places. And as I was fighting, you know, my Philistine in the last couple of months, I began to recognize hollow places. I began to look and say, God, fill that spot in my life. I don't want any spot in my life to be hollow. I want every spot in my life to well up with the wellsprings of life. I want you to fill the empty spots in my heart. I don't want there to be any spot that's not occupied with your presence. 2 Kings 4:3. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. You know the story. You've read it. How Elijah, he says, just go and get empty jars from your neighbors. Which is a commission to the believers. Go find empty people. Go look for empty places in your kids. Go search out hollow places and bring them to him. Because he longs to fill them. He just wants to fill them up. Exodus 3:21. God says, I'll make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. The Israelites, the Hebrew children, were under the bondage of Egypt in this story. And it wasn't a matter of whether God was going to bring them through the fight. It was a matter of how he was going to make the enemy pay for bringing them out of the fight. That God was actually going to make the Egyptians pay for what they did to him. For all the oppression, all the cruelty, the harsh mockery. And Samson takes the jawbone of a donkey. And he says, I'm going to do to them what they did to me. It seems a bit weird, you know, the story. But it's really telling us a story that when the enemy mocks you, that God is going to mock him. The entire story of Jesus, the whole week of the Passion and how he was crucified was all this parallel story that was told right beside the king, the emperor of Rome. You see, the emperor of Rome would enter Rome with a processional. And Jesus entered Jerusalem on that day with a processional. And they were all yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. The emperor of Rome wore a crown. And they placed a crown on Jesus' head, a crown of thorns. The emperor of Rome, he would go into the Colosseum and they would swing this perfume before him as he was walking in. And the scriptures talk of Jesus as there's a fragrance that Jesus carries. The emperor of Rome would wear this great robe. And well, you know the story how they put the robe on Jesus and mocked Jesus. All of this to tell us that he's not the king. It's as if Jesus was saying, I'm the king. And I'm going to mock your throne because it's so weak. It's so fake. It's so not real. And he establishes himself as the king in the hearts of those that believe. And so tonight, as we close, if you're in the middle of a fight, if you're feeling oppressed, if the enemy's attempting to intimidate you, if life has gotten cold and cruel, doctors are saying this, situations declaring that, I want to pray. First, I want to pray that your courage would be built, that you would begin to declare what God says about your situation rather than what life is telling you. Too often, we're victims rather than victors in Christ. And secondly, I want to pray that the place where you are would turn into a spring. As you call upon the Lord now, that the place of your fight would turn into a spring. And then lastly, I want to pray that God would fill the hollow places in our lives. But I want to remind us of something tonight. Caution us as we close. Samson, when he was commissioned unto the Lord, he was given a covenant. He took a Nazarite vow. That's really to say, is he took a covenant responsibility when he received, by faith, his assignment from God. He took a covenant responsibility. Some of those things were, you know, Samson, you're not to drink wine. No, that's not, this has nothing to do with us and drinking wine. I'm just saying for Samson's covenant. Samson, you're a Nazarite. You're not to touch wine. Samson, you're a Nazarite. You're not to cut your hair. Samson, you're a Nazarite. You have a covenant responsibility, so stay away from those uncircumcised women. Not uncircumcised women, yes. Stay away from those Philistine women, Samson. Stay out of the valley of Sorek. That's the danger of teaching any of that. The danger of teaching any of that. He had covenant responsibility. But I caution us tonight because many of us remember when we took by faith the righteousness of Christ for our life. We took it by faith. But somehow the enemy is crafty. He convinces us at times in our life to pick and choose which parts of the covenant we want. To pick up this part or to lay down that part. And what you began to notice in Samson's life was he picked up, well, he liked his hair, so he kept it. So he really stayed true to that part of the covenant. But the other parts, not so much. He was always wandering down into some valley looking for some strange woman. He was always, you know, touching the things he shouldn't have been touching. So what we see is this progression over time of how Samson took on initially this covenant, but then after time, he just began to put parts of it down. Until eventually, he even allowed his hair to be shaved. But the grace of God is so sufficient. And how God is full of grace, but the standard remains the same. So I caution us tonight to say, when you received Christ, you received a covenant. And each, you know, that covenant's personal, which is why the rules don't apply. It's very personal. So the standard of my covenant is different than yours and hers and his. It's all very personal, which is why we call it a personal relationship with Christ and not a rules relationship with Christ. But nonetheless, we're all aware of the standard of the covenant we keep. And the caution is this, if we don't pay attention to that covenant, over time we can become weak. And when life happens to us, we can begin to lose. The enemy can become so strong if we're not stronger than him. We'll go out to fight as other times, but we won't have the strength we did because we laid down our covenant. So as we close, I admonish you, hold on to the covenant of the Lord for your life. Let's close in prayer together. If we all could just stand to our feet tonight as we close. Father, we're so thankful for tonight. Each of us here. Lord, I pray for every person here. Declare that they are the Samson of their generation. No matter how old or young, they are the Samson of their generation. That the strength of God is the responsibility of those who keep the covenant of God. And so tonight, I pray, God, that you would keep them, Lord. That your word would ever be on their lips. That you, God, your word is forever. That we would begin to swing it. That we would pick it up by the mouth and begin to declare it. Secondly, God, I pray that from the place of which they stand, they would call unto you. Your word promises to make that place a spring. And lastly, God, I pray that you would fill the hollow places tonight. Any hollow place in our lives tonight, we surrender to you. Thank you, Lord, for filling that which is empty. Broken dreams, broken hearts. Fill them again, Lord. Speak to us again tonight and commission us one more time. We bless you tonight. We thank you. If you're here tonight and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I pray that in this moment you would do that. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, that he would come. He would fill the empty place. We call upon the name of Jesus tonight and we declare, God, fill our empty places like only you can. We give you praise tonight. We thank you. It's an honor to live for you because you died for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What do we have here? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Yeah, we're going to give it away. So, Sue and Paul, you want to come up here and give away an iPad? You want to do that? Kristen, you want to help them give this away? Here, you do this. Here, you do this.
They're good.
There you go. I want to be detached from whoever gets the iPad. I don't want to be the responsible one for giving the iPad away. Here you go. Here you go. Here's the mic. So you can.
Drum roll.
Where are you?
Hey, it's me.
Make sure he tells the truth.
Hey, Todd and Tammy.
They
said give it up.
Hey, I'm your friend.
I don't have my glasses. Carmen
Haslidge.
Haslidge. Hey, Carmen.
Well, we want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. What we would love for you to do before you leave tonight is pick up some material. Tell everyone you know about Church on the North Coast in Avon and what we're doing. If you're from the Avon area, take a few of our calendars with you. Invite somebody to join us the next time we gather. We're looking forward to seeing you again. All of our events that we're taking place in are listed on our calendar, and you can join us for those. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Please take some food with you. Hang out and enjoy one another. There's fellowship. God bless you. In the way, kill every-
Don't you think I hear the whispers, those subtle lies, those angry pleas? There's demons, demons, wishing they were free like me. With fire from the sun, with a light when the day is done, we are the brave, the chosen ones. With the darkness, darkness, rising up out the dust. Oh, 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 all your curses will surrender. Every lying heart will kneel. They're just mocking. We're out to turn in the field. With the fire from the sun, with the light when the day is done, we are the brave, the chosen ones. With the diamonds, diamonds rising up out the night. Chosen ones with the dark stars.